Why don't you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22, if you would, please. Luke chapter 22. I want you to look down in verse 39. Of course, we're getting into the crucifixion story, which most everybody here is probably familiar with. But in verse 39, says, and if you'll follow along with me as I read, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing to be upon the message tonight. And may it help us all, even this preacher here. In your name we pray. Amen. If you've ever had a child that had a will that was hard to be broken, you can identify with others of like mind and like faith, right? How many of you have ever had a child like that? How many of you were ever a child like that? Okay, a few more of you. I had a daughter that if you looked at her cross-eyed, she'd start crying. And I had a son that we really think he enjoyed getting spankings. And he seemed to like them, and he got more than his share. But, you know, breaking his will was a very difficult job. Breaking my daughter's will, it just was incredibly easy. And I know families that have had girls that couldn't break their will, and boys that were easy. So I think it's just dependent upon the child. But here Jesus Christ had a will also while he was on earth. He had his will, and he goes to the garden to pray, and he prays earnestly, and he's just getting a hold of the Father, and he makes this incredibly passionate plea to him. He said, you know, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do this. And it's not saying that he wouldn't. It's not saying that he was angry. But, you know, why on earth would a sinless, you know, man ever want to become the man of sin? You and I look at Scripture, right? And we've seen and we've read about the awfulness of the crucifixion. We know about the cat of nine tails. We know about the crown of thorns being beat down on his brow. We know about his beard being plucked from his face. We know about the hanging there by the nails in his hands and his feet. And the only way to get a breath was to pull up on those nails. And otherwise, it just every breath had to be taken on purpose. And if you were going to say anything, it had to be really agonizing just to get a word out. And there were very few words spoken from the cross, but a lot of groanings and a lot of agony. Now we read that and we get to see it. But he was God. He knew what it was going to feel like. It's kind of like if you ever hit your thumb with a hammer, right, the first time. That was a surprise, right? And all of a sudden, you got the attention of that hammer. And you were very careful the second time because you already knew how it hurt. Well, Jesus already knew how the crucifixion was going to feel. He knew how that whip that ripped around his body with some glass or stones or sharp objects and would rip apart his skin. He already knew what it was going to be like to be a dying of thirst and them giving vinegar to drink. All of those things he did not want to participate, nor would you or I. But then he said something very, very interesting. He said, remove this cup from me. He said, God, he says, I would like it if you would do that. Nevertheless, a very important word, not my will, but thine be done. That's an incredible statement. That is a very, very passionate statement. And it is a statement that I, in the ministry and spent 27 years working with teenagers, I have tried my hardest to get young people to do. Because every young person there, every girl down here, every teenager here in the building has a will. This is what I like. This is my favorite color. This is the color car that I have. But we all have a will. And that will needs to be broken to where we're willing to do whatever God wants us to do. And here it was that this hour, this darkest hour of Jesus Christ's life, He gives up His will for His Father. You know, God has given us gifts. He's given us opportunities. He's given us the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, those things that He has given us, the personality that we have, the ability to sing, play an instrument. Those are gifts. And they can be used for ourselves. They can be used for the world. Once we give our life to the Lord, then we get spiritual gifts that God can use for His work, for His glory, for His passion, and so forth. But as a man, human, Jesus Christ had some big decisions to make, and these were those decisions. I'll go through them briefly this evening, but I think they'll help us. He set aside His plans for His Father's wishes. You know, it's what I've tried to do with our young people here at our church. Try to get them to set aside their plans, because every one of them have a plan. This is what I want to become. This is where I want to go. I want to go into the military. I want to be a policeman. I want to be in electronics. I want to be this or that. And to get them to submit their will to God's will, and to set aside our plans for His will. That's a hard thing to do. Now, it's easy for some, and I'd love, you know, if you're walking and talking with God and you have a relationship, it's easy because you have confidence in God. You have confidence that anything, everything that you give Him, He's not going to mess up. He's going to make it better than it was. And that's how I figured it. In eighth grade, I gave my life to the Lord as a sophomore called to preach, and I figured, you know what? I'd give God my life. He asked for it. I felt that He did. And I just believed that God wasn't going to mess it up. I'm the only one that can mess up God's will. God can't, and He won't. And Jesus set aside His plans for His Father's wishes. You know, there man that can rule his spirit, the Bible says, is a man stronger than a man that can take a city. You could rule your spirit and take all the wants and all the things that we'd like in life and put those aside and say, God, you know what? I want yours. Kim's father, where are you at, Kim? Down here. Her daddy, graduate of West Virginia Tech, right? West Virginia Tech. God got a hold of him there. And he gave his heart and life to God, came to Hiles Anderson College, got another degree. And wanting to pastor a church, was asked to take a team in Ghana, West Africa. And he is building one of the up-and-coming great mission works of our day. And I'm telling you something, you listen to me, when you give of what you have to God, God can only make what you have bigger, better, and brighter. Second thing is, he endured the pain of the present for a future purpose. Let me repeat that. He endured the pain of the present for a future purpose. He had to go and suffer all that agony that I talked about, right? To become the man of sin for the world. So His blood could be taken and placed upon the mercy seat in heaven. And He can atone for your sins and mine. That was the goal. That's what God the Father, His Father, wanted Him to do. And He was willing to forego the pain of that cross, the pain of the present, for a future purpose. God's purpose, to cleanse the world of sin, as it were. I used to coach wrestling in our high school, and I had a saying I wrote on our chalkboard in our wrestling room, no pain, no gain. How many of you ever heard that before? Many of you. One of my wrestlers, I'd say that all the time, no pain, no gain. He sent me and bought me a t-shirt that said, no pain, no pain. And we all would like it. We'd like life to be that way, right? We'd rather not go to Bible college or college at all and serve God with what we have. And God says, you know what? The more you put into your worth, the more I can use of it. And to go to Bible college goes quickly, as these ladies will testify. It'll go quickly in time, but you'll learn a lot in your mind and your heart and your body. Be ready, more ready for God's purpose and God's will. As Tom Landry I heard the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, how many remember Tom Landry? Great coach in his day and revered even today by many and most. They asked him what his definition of a head coach was, and he said a head coach is somebody that makes his people do what they don't want to do so they can achieve what they want to achieve. Man, I listened to that on the radio. I pulled over and wrote that down. And we as preachers sometimes and teachers, we make our students and our parishioners do what they don't want to do so they can achieve what they ought to achieve and want to achieve. And when you have served God and you've given God your heart and life, I'm going to tell you something. You know what? You're going to go through a trial. You're going to go through a painful process to get ready to be used for the Lord. Young people, the time that you take to prepare your life is worthwhile to God. God has a prepared place for a prepared man, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say. Many of you remember the story or you remember the music. In fact, everybody over 60 does. The music of Buddy Holly. Back in the 50s was a great rock and roll singer. Started off singing in a Baptist church. Sang in the choir, sang specials in church as a teenager. And he got his heart and his life right with God. God called him and he surrendered to the mission field. But as he got out of high school, he had such a great voice, he recorded a 45. If you don't know what a 45 is, it's a huge CD, all right? And the real huge CDs are the LPs, okay? But the 45, and it was a rock and roll song. Elvis Presley had come alive, and this new music was starting, and he got into singing, and he was good at it. Boy, they got him on radio stations, and they got him singing in honky-tonks. And his mother said to him, "Buddy, you're called to be a missionary." And he said, "Mom, I'm going to the mission field. I'm going to the mission field. One day I'm going to get there. If I can sing my music for 2 years, I'll have enough money to be on the mission field the rest of my life." He said, many missionaries have to spend 2 or 3 years traveling around the country and begging people to give him money and support him. I won't have to do that. And she said, buddy, that's not the way to do it. You need to do it God's way. You let God supply. And he says, no, Mom, I want to pay it myself. That all sounds right and wonderful. And Satan often uses great ways to get us off track, doesn't he? 2 years into his music career, he died of an airplane crash. His mother took the insurance money from that airplane crash and sent it to missions all over the world and said, if my son won't go, what he lived for will. You know, sometimes we don't want to endure the pain of going through all the deputation as a missionary. Sometimes we don't want to go through the hard spells in college or the digging it out in the ministry and living the Christian life and even being ridiculed for what you believe in. We don't want to do that. But Jesus Christ was willing. He was willing to endure the pain in the present for a future purpose. And then number three, he committed his purpose to the plan of his master. He didn't give up. And they whipped him, they mocked him. He was committed. His plan, his purpose was given to the plan of the master. He was committed. I have decided to follow Jesus. That was the song we sang when I was in high school. And we decided that we were going to follow Jesus Christ. No turning back, no turning back. We need a generation of young men and young ladies today that are committed to serving Christ. Amen. Not just, you know what, I'll go to church. I'll be, no. You get in church. You get involved in church. You support church. You become a part of church. Let church become a part of you. I teach our young married couples when I perform premarital counseling, don't ever decide to go to church. That ought never be a decision. That's something you do just because you're supposed to do it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Dr. Robertson used to say three to thrive. Three to thrive. And last, his prayer was for the praise of his Father, not for his own personal gain. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Father, I want you to get all the glory. I'll go through the pain. I'll go through the hardships. I'll put away my will for your will. And that's what we need from young people. That's what we need from adults in church. That's what we need from pastors and pastors' kids. And that's what we need from our missionaries. And that's what we need from teachers and assistant pastors. We need to let our prayer be for the praise of the Master. Everything that we do ought to glorify Jesus Christ. These girls will hear me pray often throughout a week's time that whatever we do, may it glorify the Father. May we not preach or sing to show everybody we have a good voice, but to show everybody that we love God. Amen. To show everybody that God is right and God is good, and to show everybody that God's way is the best way. And we sing maybe with a good voice and bring wonderful harmony and truth in song and truth in message, but it's all about glorifying Jesus Christ, making His word ring true in our ears. And because of all of that, listen carefully, I want you to turn to one more passage of Scripture. Would you please turn to the book of Philippians chapter 2? Because back in the garden when Jesus was on His knees and He was praying and sweat was dripping off Him as if it were drops of blood, the corpuscles in his brow were bursting and blood was coming out. And because of what He was willing to do, to come and live in this earth as a man, live with mankind, see the very sin that man was provoking on each other all these 33 years, then He prays, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but Thine be done." I want you to look in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And God writes through Paul, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now look at that next word. What's that next word? Wherefore. Back in a few verses we read earlier in Romans, all right, in Luke chapter 22, we see the word "nevertheless." Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And God says in Philippians, He said, "Because of your nevertheless, I got a wherefore for you." He says, "Because," or "wherefore, you are willing to do that, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God is, though Jesus was giving all praise and glory to His Father, God says, He says, "Because you were willing to give of your nevertheless, my wherefore to you is that you will be exalted. Everyone in the world will bow down to you. All praise and glory and honor will go to you." And if I may, my belief is that your service to the Lord God Almighty in honoring His Son Jesus Christ will bring a like reward. And God has things in heaven that when I get there, I don't want to see a room full of wherefores that were stored up from me that I never received because I never said nevertheless. I don't want to go and stand before God and God says, "Eddie, you know, if you'd have just given up your will, if you'd have just succumbed to the things of God, we had so many blessings for you." And I've watched kids that I went to high school with in Christian school that had far more talent than me and far more ability than me and were able to speak better than I could speak, and those that could sing better than I could sing. And I've seen them leave high school and never look back to the things of God. But one day when they get to heaven, they'll see piles of wherefore. Piles of things that they should have had if they'd only said nevertheless to God. God won't ever cheat you out of your life, kids. He'll never take your will from you and give you something bogus in its place. You walk in holiness. You walk in newness of life every day. You try every day to prove God right and the things of God right. And God will say, hey, kid, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I've got some things stored up for you that you would have never received had you not given your life to me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know the folks in this room for the most part, but I don't know what your life is like, and I don't know what God has been just prodding your heart to do. There may be a missionary you needed to support. There may be a gift that you needed to give somebody. There may be some even thanks that somebody who done something for you deserves some praise for. Some of you, you just never have given your heart and your life to the Lord. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done ought to be your prayer tonight. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, preacher, I'll give you the pulpit.